All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. This is a Kiss-related podcast by the board for the board. We hope that you enjoy.
Join the Kiss FAQ YouTube channel. Member perks include exclusive song story demo bites, songs of the moment with contextual introductions, document and merchandise dives, Kiss FAQ board topic reaction videos, early access to channel content, and hopefully lots more. Click the join button on the Kiss FAQ YouTube channel or follow this link.
Hey, hello everyone. Welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. I'm Ken, I'm your host. Joining me is Daniel.
Hi there.
And Mark. Today we're missing Julian's off playing hooky today in England, I think,
and Lonnie as well.
And Lonnie, yeah, we're missing Lonnie. Too bad he's not here either. So it's either the Three Musketeers or the Three Stooges, whichever one you want to. It's a poll. you can do that. So anyway, we got lots to discuss today in Kiss world here. Firstly, I will get out of the way the meet us in the mailroom. Anything new? I don't have anything new that I bought or anything like that.
Wow, you guys first. Well, I got this one. I don't know if you're familiar with this one. This is the Swedish Kiss fanzine. 50 pages, glossy pages. Looks real cool. Let's see if I can show you some pics. Here you see a Destroyer Gene. Nice. And I think that there's like there's a bit of focus on Animal Eyes in this one. So there are lots of pictures from 84, 85. I'm looking for that poster. Where is it?
Lots of cheetah print and stuff like that. Animal.
Yeah, here you got it. You got some zebra.
Yeah.
And they have done something with the photos because they look even better than the original. So the great visuals in this one. Most of it is, of course, in Swedish, but this time around there's an article in English at the end, a pretty extensive article where they have interviewed, Bruce Kulick. Pretty interesting cool. Article with some things I didn't know about. He talks about what he's going to do in 2025 and what his goals are and so forth.
So this is a recent interview that they did with him?
I think so. Because he's talking about Avatars, he's talking about 2025, he's talking about his upcoming book and that kind of stuff. So it has to be pretty recent really extensive and cool. So I think this is now the longest running Kiss fanzine in history. It's like 28 years or something like that. Yeah. So and it starts, it just continues to grow, and there's even an article by Carl Linnaeus who has written lots of Kiss books.
It's interesting because I don't know if I'm sure one of us besides me owns that hardcover book that came out a while back that shows all the history of all the sort of fanzines that came out over the years. Yeah. And if you look at all the different ones that have come out, you know, over the last 40 years or whatever, to say that this one here that Daniel just shown is the longest running, that's impressive because there were so many of them. Of course, some of them were like lasted 6 months. Some of them only lasted a year. But this lasted very long.
That's cool. And when I read this one, I thought about Ken. This is Dale Sherman talking about his Creatures concert. And I'm hoping Ken will do an episode on his. I think he did. He went to three concerts on the Creatures night. Isn't that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
You get redressed up how you were when you went out that night and to do like a walk to the actual arena.
Yeah. And include all the concert stubs and all the memories from the,
I do
from
have
the parking lot.
And the Kiss 10th anniversary hat.
Do you have all the original clothes really that you wore that night?
I don't have. Well, no. I don't think I have the original clothes that I wore into there. But I bought a hat there. I think I bought a button.
Nice. I also got this
the program.
Yeah. That would be an awesome episode, maybe a mini episode in the future. I also bought this one, no Kiss connection, but my favorite movie from the 80s, Rocky IV, Russia Against America, HD, 4K,
All right. That's cool.
If he dies, he dies.
I must break you.
One other thing I want to say, welcome to everyone who is joining us live here, of course. There's looks like 35 of us. I don't think I'm gonna name everyone, but you know, some of the first people that came in were like Wade, AB, Max, Michael, Bill,
Surfer Fan, Oberheim, Austin, Bernie, Super Bernie's, Zipper.
Kiss Rocks 57.
By the way, Oberheim, Bill, if I'm
I can't go up. Everyone,
Oberheim, if I'm not mistaken, is actually an Australian gentleman who's been watching us here.
Oh, great!
I believe cool. Having an overseas watcher is very cool, of course.
Yeah, soon we have every time zone represented here on the Kiss FAQ. The only Kiss podcast with persons from all over the world.
We can say that because I mentioned that it was something we were talking about. Maybe it was the B-sides thing. But anyway, I listened to three different podcasts a week ago or something.
Okay.
And all three of them said they were the number one podcast.
Yeah,
everybody thinks.
I was like, what? I said, so hey, that's we're I don't know, maybe we're number one too, so I don't know, we're all number one.
You know, that to me is irrelevant. I mean, you know who makes
I know it's
one?
Like it's how
the
they
people
it's just a marketing
I've always said this, when you start saying that, when you start hyping yourself up like that, I'm the number one, this that just shows such uninsured of yourself, you know, unbelievable.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool to hear this behind the scene talk that we have sometimes, because there is a lot of envy and jealousy in the Kiss Army, and it goes between podcasts and fans, and it goes very
deep. Doesn't make any sense.
No,
it
doesn't make
any sense, because we're all in the same boat, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on your side there, Mark. But it's the thing is, it's the same thing, almost the same thing, I think, here over in Sweden, where when a new podcast starts to get followers, other people start, you know, pointing a finger and mention, well, you were mistaken when you said that, and that isn't correct, and all that kind of stuff, because I don't know if they feel threatened or something, but it's very unfortunate. We should all be happy that we still can do this and that someone cares about it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good other great podcast out there on Kiss, and I listen to them too.
What's your favorite, guys? If you can pick only one,
I'm not gonna. I don't know.
It's a tie once again, guys.
I can't pick a. Yeah, I think I have a tie. There's a few I like.
Mark always mentioned that old podcast that got you into the podcast world. Yeah,
podcast. Kiss Room is also another one I like, you know, going to. One of them that I sorely, sorely, sorely miss is Kistery Science Theater. I used to love watching that one. Yeah,
that was the one you collected all the episodes on CDs.
Yeah, I have them all.
I have to go with Pot of Thunder. That was my favorite, where they, you know, dissect song in the catalog. I like that one.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about that was that they would play a song, and like 30 seconds later, they would stop talking about it. They'd play the song, and I always
that's the whole idea, Mark. That's the
one thing that I always hated about those sort of videos, like those analysis videos.
Oh.
When I start hearing it, I want to hear the song, and why not just listen to the song and then talk about it? You know, it's like, bro, that's when they would do that. But I understand.
It's the musician in you that complains there. Yeah.
Oh, anyway. All of that, those podcasts, you know, varieties, whatever. I like to say, variety is a spice of life. So that's
yes.
All right, let's move on to some news, and it's probably becoming old news now about the Gene Simmons solo tour canceled a bunch of shows. I still see May shows out there, but all the April's gone. I don't know what the hell's going on.
It's too.
It canceled my show, of course, that I was going to go to. Julian was going to go to that one too. I haven't seen my refund yet, though. I gotta get that. But What do you think about that? I mean, do you think there's a reason? Well, I know we talked a little bit last week. Is it ticket sales? Some people saying it's something else.
Yeah, there are a few things that could have happened. That's for sure one thing, that the ticket, he wasn't moving tickets like he thought he would. But nowadays, people seem to wait to buy tickets more than
to the last before. Minute.
I think that's something that happened after, you know, the thing we had with that pandemic, that people aren't... I remember having tickets to 3-4 concerts and having to wait 3 or 4 years to see them almost. So I think people are a bit hesitant when it comes to buying tickets. And especially if the guy playing is well over 70, they might, you know, hesitate a bit. But I think he would have moved enough tickets to make a buck on that tour. What else can it be? Well... maybe something else popped up that will generate more money for him, because it's always about the money, I think. But I think he enjoys playing live, and I still think we will see him. Maybe he'll be over here in the summer, I certainly hope.
Well, yeah. I kind of think that tickets are a part of it. I mean, there was a few people that went on Facebook and would like show like the graphic, like when you go and buy tickets, you can pick a seat, and they would put these graphs up, and they would say, look at this, like almost 3/4 of the arena is still available. Mm-hmm. You know, like he hardly sold anything. Like they would show the graphic. So in some areas, it was pretty obvious that he didn't move stuff. And you got to don't forget too. And I think Josh was trying to mention this here, that Josh Hefner guy, that the promoters, you know, they have a lot to, you know, put up with this too. You know, they're the ones who have to pay, and they don't want to, you know, guarantee Gene a huge amount of money and then like only, you know, 500 tickets sell. So you have to convince them to keep it on sale, right? Otherwise, I'll just pull the plug on it, right? So and walk up ticket sales. I know that that's always the one thing that people always talk about, like, you know, oh, but a lot of people come the day out, but that is so risky from a promoter's point of view, you know, like to them have to kind of, you know, wish at the last minute within the next 3 hours all these tickets are going to go. It's not a good place to be at. You know, most promoters would rather just have the assurity that the ticket's actually sold, and there you go, right? So I think that's it. And the other thing, maybe this Las Vegas thing had something to do with it. Maybe this whole thing was coming up, you know, Gene said, well, forget about this thing. This is more important. You know, it's probably going to generate more income and blah, 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 right?
He's got to start practicing.
Yeah, I think Julian mentioned a pretty cool idea, if they could pull that one off, is to continue this thing in different cities, like, you know, Kiss Army invades Stockholm and so on. That could be pretty cool, you know, have like 10 events in Europe or something in different
That's
countries.
Like touring again, well, though, right?
Hold that.
They said that they would never do again, right?
Hold that thought, well, Daniel, because we'll get down to the that convention thing that's going on, coming. Yeah. All right, so next, Ace, anyone see the Ace in Orlando?
Was that SeaWorld?
It was like an
outdoor show there.
Outdoor.
Yeah.
It started in the daylight, and it was okay. I saw it. You know, it's not Ace in his prime, as you, but it wasn't the greatest. It wasn't the worst. You know, there's some good moments in that show.
I have to say, I saw bits and part of it as well, and I think he's been improving lately. I think this last few concerts have been way better than maybe a year back or so. So I think he's found his mojo again. Then, of course, he's deaf, he's almost blind maybe, and he's old.
Can't
so
hear.
You can't compare with prime Ace, of course, but taking all those things into consideration, I think he did a hell of a job, and I like the way the band is backing him up. You know,
yeah,
so if he would play here, I think I would go and see him.
Yeah, cool. No, I didn't get to watch it, but so I can't make any kind of critical assessment of it. But I did watch a couple of other ones from this more recent run of shows, and yeah, it wasn't too bad. I mean, like I agree with Daniel for sure. Like the last year or two before, man, there were some really hard concerts to listen to there. He was behind and he was sloppy as hell, and you know, the singing was really terrible. But, you know, I think it's better now, and I think the band has a lot to do with it as well. Maybe they kind of, you know, sat down and went over things a little bit, not like with the songs. I think maybe they just arranged it more so that he could maybe hear things better on stage. Maybe they rearranged some of the way they've set up stuff. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But whatever they did in the intern, I think helped make it a bit more of a, you know, better playing condition for all involved.
I think he nailed some of, maybe not nailed, but some of the solos sound really cool. So I would love to watch those solos mm-hmm. live. You know, he nailed some of the which one was it that I thought was so good? I think it was Cold Gin sounded great and stuff like that. So kudos to him doing this at 74 or whatever it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotta give it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, let's go to something here. I have the next little thing.
Oh.
We got the
Merchandise. You put the name on everything.
There it is.
Hell yeah.
The Just to Kill merchandise.
Kiss the flamethrower.
Yeah. So let's get into this. So it's the Just to Kill. They at least released some merchandise, but I don't know if it's the what we were looking for. So here we are with these, you know, $100 jerseys.
Yeah, man, the prices are
souvenir bat.
A bit ridiculous.
It's an 18-inch bat, and your Raglan shirt. And what I really hate is this Dress to Kill hat. It's like you can't see it. The it says Dress to Kill in black stitching and Kiss in black. I was like,
you know,
what are you trying to do?
I'll tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. That Dress to Kill bat is going to sell out, and I can tell you who's going to buy them. All the wives of the Kiss collectors are going to buy it for smack their husbands upside the head for buying these $100 jerseys.
They're going to break. Yeah, they're going to break their Kiss toys with it. You know, they'll be whacking them off the shelf and all that kind of stuff. And their
these prices for T-shirts and stuff are unbelievable, because you just have to search the web and then do you see this one? Can you see this one? This is a T-shirt. I think this one looks pretty cool. Do you know how much it is?
30?
It's, let's see. $7. $7. I guess some little kid in China.
Well, probably not official. It's probably some.
No. It's not official, but it looks pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Probably that doesn't go to Kiss's pocket, so they don't care. Right?
No, well, they don't care. But that's the thing. How can people go and buy shirts at those prices?
I understand. Yeah,
it's when you can get one for $7, and it looks, it's the same ballpark.
Daniel, we were talking about this before. Kiss could do it. They could go there and say, "Listen, you know, I want to sell the T-shirt for $25," and they can still make a profit off it. I mean, I've looked into all this stuff before, and I'm sure lots of people have as well, selling their own shirts. You can still make it affordable and have some profit into it as well. But the problem is Kiss just want more and more and more and more and more profit. You know, where does it stop? $100 jersey. Next time it's going to be $120 jerseys. And then it's going to be, when hockey season comes around again, it's going to be $250 hockey jerseys then. There has to be a stop somewhere, you know?
Here's another one, $7. So you can get two different types for $14, and they look sure as hell as good as Kiss.
Let me show you something else, Daniel.
Yeah.
These shirts here. Now, these aren't in the Kiss store. They are from the Dress to Kill live, you know, the walking tour thing.
Yeah.
And they were sold at that pop-up at record shop there in New York City. And these are actually nice shirts. They really look cool. Standout of the faces on the one, and one in, you know, the pink is fine. I actually like the one on the left. I thought, I hope they sell that, but they're not. They had limited amount of shirts out there. I can't remember. There was a link. It's on the FAQ board. But I went there. I was gonna say, okay, I'm gonna maybe buy one. It's like $30-$35 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's not $100, right? Yeah. And I got there, and it was, you know, the extra large and all that were gone. There was only small and medium, I think, or whatever. I don't know if there are any left now, but I thought, you know, they need to, you know, sell this kind of stuff. Why don't they design this kind of stuff for their online store instead of the other crappy designs that they do a lot of the time? I just don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. They would make a lot more sales, you know. So I'm hoping that they somehow release these at some point and make them available. But supposedly they're not, because there was like a limited thing.
Yeah,
but you never know. I would hope they do it. Yeah. And the other real quick thing is regarding this, and then the stuff about the what did they miss, Kiss or Kiss Online or whatever, with the Dress to Kill. Yeah, they got a baseball thing. Baseball starts here in the United States. That's why they did this baseball theme thing, but not everyone's into baseball, right? So did they really miss out on something here? Because there's no box set yet. No gold vinyl or colored vinyl or any special thing yet. Did they, miss out? Did they blow it here?
Well, I think
Canada loves those boxes.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool that they are releasing a lot of stuff. I mean, we have lots to talk about. If you compare this episode and the last episode we did, more things have happened for KISS during that period of time than all of last year. So even though they are just releasing T-shirts and this audio tour and stuff like that, things are starting to happen. And I think we have just seen the end of the beginning, you know. So it's starting to happen things. So I think we'll get... I tried to think of the Winston Churchill quote, but I couldn't remember it quite, but you know, when he talks about the Second World War, that's such a great quote.
Yeah.
But maybe it's the end of the beginning, and we'll see what happens in the upcoming months. I think we're up for some surprises.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Daniel made a good point that compared to how things were last year, we had nothing to talk about. It was complete crickets at that point. But, now things are out, and that's good. So we shouldn't be complaining from that end of it. But, I mean, you can't help but also kind of be not disappointed, but just wish that there was stuff that they could do something that was appeased to everybody, not just the high-end seller. Something that the middle-of-the-road guy can get as well, right? Sure, you want the big ticket items? Sure, make them available. Who cares, right? Mm-hmm. Do it. If someone wants to buy it, they buy it, right?
Yeah.
But put something in for the middle guy as well. I mean, come on, man. Like those shirts that Ken was showing, why not put a $25 shirt out there so they know something that people will buy? I'm a T-shirt guy. I always buy T-shirts. Yeah. Hence, I have another one here. Right. Yeah. So, and I'm quick word of a not warning, but a little heads up for people like Ronnie Parker, who says, I'll take a $7 shirt any day. So will I. At our Walmart here, we have like these cheap Kiss T-shirts. But the problem with those is that you wash them twice and they're already half faded because they're so garbage, right? But
you mean that Kiss Online has this high quality T-shirts? Kiss Online.
Well, the ones I have from Kiss Online, I they still look fantastic. They're still very solid, but again, you have to know how to wash them inside out.
Maybe you just don't like washing,
Well, no, I wash them all the time, but
you got to do
it inside out. You have to wash it cold water. And I hang dry them. I don't put them in the.
Wow, this is the next mini episode.
You hang dry them.
Mark's washing.
How do you take care of your clothes and Kiss merchandise?
That's
going to be its own part episode,
one.
I think.
Yeah, part one. Yeah.
All right, let's get off of that. I'm hoping, just to say, Dress to Kill stuff will probably come later. I think they can't do it all at once because they have the Strutter thing. They did the baseball merch thing, and then they're doing now this Las Vegas thing. That's a lot of money at one time that someone, if everyone's going to actually spend money on all of that, that's a lot to do at once. They need to spread it out a little bit. Maybe Dress to Kill be in a couple of months or something, the actual box set, I'm hoping.
That's a good point,
Something like that. They need to space out. Oh, now, the other thing real quick, I didn't put it on my notes, but the Off the Soundboard. It did sell out, but then it didn't. Then they put it back on because they were pressing some more, I think, because of the demand. They put another order in that those will come later on, like in June or something like that. June or July, I don't know.
So yeah, you know, a big problem with that was that they first said, or at least I understood it as if it would only come out on vinyl. And then that CD popped up in Japan. And then suddenly, from left field, it said, well, tomorrow the Off the Soundboard premieres on Spotify. So I listened to it on Spotify the other day.
And, yeah, I listened to it. Yeah,
yeah, I have to say, it's a cool show. There's lots of things happening. Few mistakes here and there, and Gene is really vocal in this concert. He tries some of his in between songs banter, and it doesn't work. He hasn't learned anything. I remember him screaming at the audience in '74 on one of those bootlegs, "How many are you out there? 100?" And that's it. It's like his banter between songs. It's so terrible. And it wasn't any better on this Asylum show from, I think it was from Texas somewhere, Antonio or something.
Yeah, San Antonio. I mean, I listened to it too. Somebody posted it. Actually, it was a Kiss site. Actually, I think it might have even been Kiss Official who put the whole thing out already
on YouTube on there. On Kiss.
Yeah, on YouTube, and I listened to the whole thing. I gotta say, I'm used to the fact that they're playing fast at this point, and it's not very tight. They are kind of sloppy live at this point because they play so friggin' fast. I mean, but there are a few things on this thing that I just wonder about. Like, why in God's name did they put that ridiculous Paul guitar solo in there? It's just so terrible, solo. It's just worst. Shit. All those solos are just complete skips. The bass Gene thing is garbage, you know. Yeah. The drum solo is okay, but I mean, Paul's, some of the in-between banter with Paul is just so long. It's like, hurry up, man. Get to the fucking song. You know, it's like taking forever for him to get through some of this stuff. And it's just... He's trying so hard to be so cool, which is uncool. You know,
give me a break, man.
Yeah, looking back on it.
But did you notice on the Eric Carr solo that one of his, you know, those pads didn't work?
Yeah,
it sounds
so. Like, or whatever.
Don't
enjoy that.
Yeah, but one pad isn't working. And then after a while, he tries to hit other pads instead, and then the melody of those things becomes completely.
Unfortunately,
you know, Mr. Scimbatti, I would rather skip over a solo and have an incomplete show. You know what? With that part time that they used in it, you know, they could have put another song. But I'm guessing that's the full concert anyways. When you have all that shit in there as well, right? But it wouldn't have bothered me having that out of there. Those parts, I mean. You know, and that's some of the things like the Gene thing. I mean, back in the day, when they would include those solos on the vinyl or the audio, you have to kind of envision him doing the blood thing or doing something so it makes sense. Yeah. But that's the problem with just audio. You don't know what the hell's going on. It's just this.
He should have had that. He should have brought that cape that he bought for, I don't know, $50,000. Do you remember that one? He had it for one show. A red thing that with lamps and lights over it. He just used it once and then he never used it. It looked terrible on stage.
I did notice on the, you talked about those drums, Andrew, Daniel, the synth drums that it was on, like Tears Are Falling.
Yeah, you heard them.
You can really hear them. Yeah, I never heard that before. I don't think I heard it in a concert either. But it's like, that sounded kind of cool to me.
That's the beauty of having soundboards, is that you can hear
it. It was brought up. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, and then there are some for example, Gene, you know, when it's time for Eric Carr solo, it's Gene calling out, you know, Eric Carr on the drums. I've never heard that before. Have you ever heard Gene saying that? It's always Paul. So I don't know what was happening on stage because, and then Gene is, or Eric is supposed to start War Machine right after that, but he forgets. Yeah. So he starts, Eric. But then he remembers he's supposed to start the.
But Gene is this is a very strange era for Gene because this is also the time when you watch him on stage when he does those scissor kicks, those karate kicks he likes to do at this time, but he never does before or after, I don't think, since these two, but he does these really odd karate kicks.
I think maybe because, you know.
Well, because Paul does those spin kicks and he's good at that, but Gene looks like he's, you know, trying some judo warm up or something. You know?
I think the good thing is with the tracks on this, because you could cut out the solos and that stuff and just put the tracks, I think, you know, make your playlist and eliminate like the Paul solo, Gene solo.
Yeah.
I'd keep the, I like the Eric, I always like Eric's solos.
Mm. Yeah, the drum solos.
What he does, he, you know, it's, he's inventive on what he does. But,
but I think,
and Bruce, you know. So. Yeah,
I think a great thing with this one is that you don't see them, because when you see those silly Asylum outfits, it takes away from the show. I think it's, this reminded me so much about Animal Eyes Live Uncensored. It's like Animal Eyes Live Uncensored 2, almost. Mm. There's not a whole lot of differences, and they only play two songs from Asylum. That's a too bad. And it's only like the fourth show of the tour or something like that, and they have already... You know, skipped. I think they started out with King of the Mountain they had for a show or two in the beginning, and also a Gene song. Yeah, which one was it? Anyway, You Slice It or something?
Yeah, that was it.
And then they just skipped those. So I think that's a bit unfortunate, because it's really the Animal Eyes show all over again. Even Paul Solo is a carbon copy of his Animal Eyes solo. Gene solo as well. So it's really lazy.
It brought, the one thing, good thing, when I was listening to it, it kind of brought back memories for me, because I, you know, I was at the Asylum concert.
Okay.
I believe.
Which one?
Who opened? What, was it Wasp on that one?
I think. We can look in this great book.
It was at the Cow Palace. It was,
yeah, I would guess, yeah.
And San Francisco. And yeah, I remember the extra rapping stuff that Paul does and stuff like that. But I remember it being very, being there and very colorful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those KISS, the KISS logo. Mm-hmm.
That was huge. Yeah.
It was huge. Yeah. I mean, it was those spotlights, and they all turned and everything. It was kind of cool. So yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoy most KISS concerts, almost all of them.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, it was very, I remember it very colorful with the lights, lighting, and everything else. And of course, their, you know, fluorescent color outfits or whatever.
That was their shtick for that, right? That was their color palette.
So
you remember the date, Ken, of the show? So for Daniel, or what the date was?
I can't remember.
Was it October? Summer?
I thought it was in the earlier part of the year. I could be wrong.
Probably autumn, wasn't it? They usually start around then.
Which was the opening act? You said it was.
I think it was Wasp. It was
Wasp. Okay, they didn't play too many shows. Let's check that. Well,
anyway,
if you remember,
it's all right.
One of the shows leaked via Sam Lewis. Sam Loomis. One of the Tears of Falling shows.
Oh yeah,
and that was the first time I really got a good look at that huge logo in the back. And at one point, it lighted up like the American flag. I didn't know that before I saw, prior to seeing that show. So I think it was really, it was a really cool logo and something new for KISS. But I guess even back then, KISS fans probably complained, why don't they use the original logo?
Yeah, the last shows, it's all digital, this last number of years, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to one of the more of the main topics here. First, I'm going to say that there's this one comment from Dee Snider regarding the Las Vegas, you know, the KISS Army Storms Vegas thing. And when he heard the news, he said,
I found it.
So I was told today that a KISS reunion in Vegas has been announced 14 months since the last farewell. That may be a new record for them. I can't believe people still put up with their shit. To me, it's insulting. So anyway, he said that. He always has to say something about it because, he can't do it. That's the problem. There's a little bit of jealousy there, I think, always from Dee Snider. So let's do this. I got a special video that from our fearless leader about this deal here, and we'll talk more about it here.
Fire it up.
All right, boys, good to see you. I'm heading to London to have a curry, literally, so I won't be able to join you this week. Anyway, I wanted to just offer my opinions briefly on a couple of this week's topics. First of all, the Off the Soundboard. I VPN'd into Australia this morning to check out that release, and it was bloody marvelous. It's exactly what I was hoping for. I think they've been very gentle with it in terms of its EQing. They've left it very natural. It felt slow, like it had been slowed down a little bit, but, you know, comparing it with a couple of others later, it sounded in line with, I think, the Charlotte soundboard from later in December. So very enjoyable, very happy with it. I'm looking forward to digital because I'm not flipping that sucker six times over in 90 minutes. All right, the other big news, obviously, is going to be Kiss Army Storms Vegas. The pricing is out for the pre-sale, and there's a lot of discussion about the value of that. As expected, it's going to be a cruise on land in Vegas, so everyone's going to have an opinion on whether it's worth it to them. You know, I'm on the fence at this point. Really, the only packages that interest me would be the one including the sound check and all of the add-ins, the tiering and the exclusivity, and the pass holes will be ambling around just like on the cruise. I really am just not into that scene. So right now I'm not sure if I'm interested. Bill and Kiss as Gene and Paul, that doesn't bother me. Kiss is Gene and Paul and has been since 1983 and as a business since 1987, so that doesn't make me butt hurt. No one's got a gun to my head making me go or not go. But it's so far away in November. There's football season. There's Thanksgiving. It's the down season or the start of the down season in Vegas, so I'm really not too sure of it. I would love to get the book done with Ace and be able to debut at that. If there's international fans coming in, I'd much rather be in Las Vegas doing an Ace-related event as a bumper car to what's going on. So it is what it is. It's the first event of the future. It's the first event since December 2023. Yeah, that is good. It's an opportunity for fans to get together. That is good. Whether it's a value to you, that's, you know, that's debatable. And again, I'm not sharing a room with anyone, so that's why I put up on the site the pricing for the room all in versus per person in a room. And that arrangement will work for many people, just like it did for the cruise. It happens to not be my taste. I can't think of anything worse than sharing a room with someone at one of these events. I like my privacy. I like my space. But other people aren't in their room very much, so it sounds like there'll be plenty of activities. There's plenty of action, and you're in Vegas, so we'll see how this goes. Again, there hasn't been a proper expo, an official KISS one, in years. There has obviously been the KISS Cancer Goodbye charity. So we're seeing the beginning of the future of what events are going to look like and how they're going to be priced. And I'm sure things will get adjusted along the way and lessons will be learned. So that's it. I'm getting back to my beer. Cheers. And I'm thinking about my curry after a very long flight. So I'll see you guys next week. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah. Well, there you go. A special message. His thoughts on the soundboard, but the other stuff. Not importantly, but about the Kiss Army Storms Vegas thing, which is like he said, a convention or a Kiss cruise on land. So
on land, yeah.
I think that's a great idea. It has to push the Ace book at that event or being in somewhere in that area, pushing the book. Maybe have Ace in a building and, you know, a signing and stuff like that.
There would be signing
a book signing next doors. You know, kind of use Kiss for leverage there. So
there
I think he should do something like that if he can pull that one through. But I just quickly, Ken, I have to tell you, you went to the Cow Palace in February.
Okay, the 4th. Right.
Yeah,
early
6,000 in attendance. And I have to just read two sentences from the review. It's so bad. That Kiss had lasted this long qualifies as something of a minor miracle. But it doesn't look like there is much life left in these grandfathers of heavy metal.
Grandfathers. Wow.
In 85.
That's in 85, and they're grandfathers at that time. They were thought to be. Yeah, that's pretty typical of a lot of reviewers at that time. I enjoyed it. That's all that mattered, right?
Yep.
The people who went to see it.
Sure.
So,
exactly.
Because who the critics know half the time anyway. So let's get into this Kiss Army Storms Vegas. I'll show you some things. Yesterday, the VIP sales went on sale. The packages and all that sale. And I have the packages here. Let me bring it up here. I've got I can't read it because it's so small. But sorry, I tried my best.
Yeah, I see it. Ultimate Experience.
There's the Ultimate Experience, and there are logos knocking it somehow. But the high end is on the left, and the low end is on the right.
Signature package is 1,000.
Yeah, and the first two, if you see the first two, they were sold out as of last night. I don't know when they sold out. So people were able to get these full packages, which has things like, I'm trying to read it all, Three Nights Stay. All those are the same, but then you get extra stuff. You know, the photo with signs, merchandise, and Julian was saying, the special seating, you know, early entry into the certain events, special close seating by, you know, in these events, whether it's a concert or these other little question and answer sessions and that sort of stuff. And you know, I don't know. Is it that much more for that extra stuff? You have to pay that much more. It's kind of like I compare it to like a Disneyland Fast Pass or whatever they call those thing. It's like express. You're paying for the ability to get to things early and be there early and get the best seats and that sort of stuff. That's a lot of money.
Hell yeah. Do you know anyone who has bought a package?
Personally, I do not. Yeah. No.
I know a few Swedes that have already bought packages and are going. So people will come from every corner of the world, I think. There seems to be, people want this. It's not for me, but there are people out there that want to do this.
If you're able to do it and you have the money to do it, I have no problem with it. That's great. I think it's a cool thing. I still think the prices are kind of crazy.
Outrageous.
You know, I mean, I know it's, you're getting three nights stay. You're paying for a three nights stay at the hotel. So maybe that's still, if it's 300 a night, that's just on the high side. I don't know if that those are the real room prices for a standard person if they just go to that hotel. But it just seems like it's a little expensive, obviously. So you're paying $4,500, just say, for the whole spiel, you know, on the big one there. So if you go down to the basic package of 1,194, you're not paying maybe that much extra. If it is $390, you're just gonna get the concert and a few other things going on, you know, nothing signed, no picture with Kiss. Now, the other thing is they say it's with Kiss, but Kiss is only Paul Stanley right now at this point, Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley with guests. I know Bruce Kulick is going to be there too. And then do we know why it's guests? I think they didn't offer enough to Tommy and Eric maybe for these.
Well, Julian went over that Kiss has always been Paul and Gene show. So why are we surprised? You know, I mean, that technically is who Kiss is, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if they could get, you know, get Ace. Can they get Ace? Can they get
Ace? Ken.
I know.
You and your dreams of, you know, kumbaya, let's get back together and hold hands and, you know, everything's good again. It ain't going to happen. This guy wants too much money. He's been upset with these guys. They've abused him verbally over the years and stuff like that. Really, you think he's going to play, you know, nice and, I'll come and help you guys out. He's going to make it as hard as possible.
Yeah. The other thing is someone had asked, I think Keith asked him, well, I live in Vegas or that, you know, the area. Mm-hmm. Do I need to buy the package? Can I get the ticket to get into the events and stuff?
Day pass.
No, you have to buy packages. Mm-hmm. And all the packages include, why do I want to stay at a hotel if I live at my home?
They want your money. That's why.
It's like they should allow, to me, they should allow, you know, you to
and it makes sense, Ken.
Go somewhere else.
it makes total sense that they should offer a day pass for people who are from the area. Even like if you live in California, it's a short, not a big drive to go there from California and back again, right? You just buy yourself a day pass. You can go and hang out, enjoy all the things, you know, and then go back. You know, if you want to make it, you know, more money for you, if you're going to lose on the hotels and stuff, then, you know, make another event that people have to buy, you know, and pay cash for when they get there. I'm sure they can find extra things that they can take people's money from if they're worried about losing out on the hotel profits that they would make. But I mean, that's the thing. They want maximum cash for all this stuff. So the idea of somebody getting a day pass for, let's say, what, $600 or whatever to go in for the day, you know, that to them just seems unbelievable, you know. And then Bernie, you're saying to invite Ace and Peter. Peter, I can't imagine Peter going to do it, you know, number one. Yeah. I think he's too happy being in his comfortable life now without any drama and shit like that. So I don't think he wants to do it. And again, Ace is going to be one of those people who wants cash, like just like Max said. He'll probably want $250,000 just to go there and spend 3 days, which is ridiculous too. But, you know, at this point, kids should be used to ridiculous things. So why not at least think about it? But it's the day pass, I think, is a good idea, you know, but they won't do it, you know.
No, if you remember when Vinny started his stuff, I thought it was so silly, you know, eat a salad and see Vinny play strum the guitar for a minute or two and get a pin, you know, like $1,000. I thought, wow, this is so crazy, he's so desperate. Now kids almost are looking at what Vinny did, you know. The least amount of effort and the most amount of money out of it, you know. I think it's to me, as you mentioned last week, Mark, I wouldn't pay that much extra money for what I'm thinking is going to be a pretty subpar performance by Kiss, or if it's even Kiss, if it's Gene Paul and friends, we don't really know what will happen there, but I think it's insane. But since it's the only way to get to see Kiss in any shape or form, I guess some fans feels like, well, I have to go.
You know, and here's the other thing that kind of annoys me. One of the things here that they're trying to sell you on is saying Q&A with members of Kiss and Doc. Get up close and personal with Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, and Doc McGee during an exclusive Q&A session where they share stories, behind-the-scenes moments. You know how this is. Every time you've seen an interview with Doc, he doesn't answer anything. He always goes and
same
does,
questions, you know, and same answers.
Yeah, it's always beat around the bush. No inside details on anything. Already. Yeah, he doesn't tell you anything. What's going to be the same shit again? And you're paying what for, like, extra for that? Like, come on. Like, well, it's included in the price, but still. So, you know, these things are just, you know, they're not even worth doing. You just go back and watch an interview with him 5 months ago. You're going to get the same answers.
Yeah, and they got some kind of, you get the Shuttle Express from the hotel to the airport and back. And the high price one is they all have access to a your own unique car or something like that. Shuttle. Oh, okay. It's like, wait a minute, how many people did they sell for that? And if they're all going to go at the same time, is there enough cars to handle that? I don't know what service that's going to be, but that's, you know. Maybe Gene or Paul will go back to his taxi days and get in a taxi and drive you personally for that price back and forth to the hotel. That would be good.
I mean, you guys are into a few other 70s bands. Is this common that, you know, over the hill type of bands start doing different kinds of, you know, expos, convention stuff in order to get money and play acoustic?
That's a great question, because I'll tell you something. None of the bands that I really are into do this kind of stuff. Like, I mean, I've never seen, like, there are Rush conventions that I've seen here and there, but none of them are run by Rush themselves. They're always just fan-run stuff that they do themselves, right? And Alex and those guys always said, you know, whatever, if they enjoy doing it, we don't mind, and we don't have any, like, they'll never go in there, storm a Rush convention and take back shit and bring it back into their 94. Collection. Yeah, exactly. Or do stuff like that. They don't care. They're just like, if fans are enjoying it, great. And that's it. And they have, you know, they do all these little different compilation records now in tribute to Neil Peart and stuff. And they never get in the way of that stuff. You know, just let them do it. So they're a band that doesn't do that. That some of the other bands I listen to, like Genesis, I've never seen anything like that with them. you know, I've never seen any kind of convention with King Crimson, and I'm pretty sure Robert Fripp would never endorse something like that. He's not about that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I think Kiss is the only band that I know that would personally go ahead and spearhead something like this. Like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. Imagine 30 years ago.
Yeah.
30 years ago, I paid $100 for a Kiss convention. Mm-hmm. I got to see the Kiss. I came into this Kiss convention. I remember coming in. Actually videotaped some of it. I have it on a VHS right now still. But I came in and they had the Kiss tribute band actually playing in makeup at the time. And it was a great tribute band. I don't know if it was, you know, who was playing in that band at the time. It could have been Tommy and the other guy. I'm not sure anymore. And the other, I can't remember his name now. But who does Gene, who does a great Gene. Spiro.
Yeah, Spiro.
Papa. He was great. They were great. Surname. And then you walked around these glass cases of, you know, drums, the mannequins with the makeup and the original outfits on these things. And I'm just staring at them close up, right? You know, through all this merchandise, the guitars, all the different guitars and things, and it's just all kinds of stuff, and that was so cool. I was like, "Wow, this is so awesome!" And then after that, you had the Kiss acoustic, you know, unplugged performance, which they just played random. People were shouting out stuff. We sat on the floor right in front of the stage.
Yeah.
We're just sitting on the floor, not standing or anything. We're sitting and watching Kiss sitting on their stools playing, and it was. It was like, wow, it was just an awesome experience. And then after that, that was all over, they did a signing. And they were signing whatever stuff you had, you know. And, like, they were selling the Kistory books at that thing, too, at that time, too. So, anyway, I'm just saying, what a difference between that and this new thing, that at least in price. You know.
But Ken, you're forgetting a very important thing. This was 94. Kiss couldn't get arrested then. They canceled a tour for Crying Out Loud for Revenge because nobody was buying tickets for it. So, and I remember when they came to Toronto here, me and my friend went, and you know it was pretty attended, but it was nowhere near packed at these things. And like you know, I felt bad for like what's his name, Eric Singer and Bruce. The autograph tables, you know, Paul and Dean had these huge lines for them, and there was like three people at Bruce's and maybe one guy at Eric's talking to him for like a half an hour because nobody really cared at that point for them, right? And you know, it was a different time. You know, $100 then, they were lucky to get probably $100 at that time to do it because nobody was considered expensive at the time. That's the thing. Nobody cared.
A lot more than a concert.
As they would now. Now, if you were to tell those people back in 94 that they would be paying, you know, $5,000 to go see Kiss, they think that you're insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, again, if you're able to do that, you know.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's great if you're able to. I mean, the highest price package is just I pay a little bit less, almost twice amount just on property taxes in California. Okay, just to, don't move to California, people. All right, I'm just telling you right now. Let me show you something now. We had a couple of polls regarding this.
Okay,
out there, two polls. Here's one of them. This is was on the board, and this one said, which Kiss Storms Vegas package are you doing? So we had a total of 200 and how many votes?
206.
Maybe I got to make it bigger on my screen. 206 votes. So look at this. None of the above. So the first one was Signature Experience Package. The Signature Plus. Those are the lower price ones. The
Signature Plus got 7 votes.
I mean, exclusive. You got 5 people to do the ultimate, which is, you know,
exclusive got 2. Great.
Yeah.
I think that's enough for Kiss. If they get 10% of the army to go, that's enough. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make money. But it says it surely shows that the true Kiss army, the ones attending the Kiss FAQ boards, they are not going to this event, most of them. Of course, it's a pricing thing as well. I mean, it's
if you, well, you got to if you're a blue collar, the air package, you know, the flight too costs.
Yeah, as well. So it's I mean, if you have a wife and children, how can you say like, well, I'm going to go and spend this amount of money to see Kiss drumming guitars and you know, buy some Kiss stuff? I couldn't say it.
Listen, I could have bought the Ultimate Experience if I wanted to, but I could see that's going somewhere else, you know, that money. Yeah. Do I really need, I'm a huge Kiss fan, obviously, but I just, you know, there's other things in life that I have to consider over Kiss, right?
Yeah.
So that's the way that is. I got another poll.
This is going to people who have a lot more, expendable or, you know, extra cash to use in these situations. You know, they have the funds to do it. A lot of the regular folk just don't have that kind of cash available for that. Okay, what's this next one?
Yeah, this one is similar. This was on the Facebook site, the group site of Kiss FAQ. About the Kiss one-off concert to be held in November in Vegas. This is way early, before you went on sale, that I put up there. It says, how many I'm going. Not a lot I'm going. Not going is the majority. It's kind of like that other poll. And this, only if Ace and Peter show up, there's a low amount there. And then maybe if the price is right. This is before the prices came out.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm assuming this might have, that would probably, the price is not right for a lot of people. No. That's why some people are not, like myself, I'm not going. So anyway, I think I selected maybe if the price is right at the time, because that was, again, before the actual prices came out. So yeah tells you something.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else on the Kiss Las Vegas? Any other comments on that? I hope they do more, or maybe other location. Maybe they'll do one a year. I think some of this is like a testing the waters for Vegas because of the avatars coming in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like, they're generating excitement or seeing how many people would just come to this thing, and maybe next year they'll do another one. And then the next year after that will be avatars. I don't know if that's part of the strategy. I have no idea. I'm not part of Pop House or anything. So I don't know what the strategy is there.
You make a great point there. This is like their first try at it. And then they can improve it, shape it, form it, so it will suit more people, or they can, you know, expand it or take away things that didn't work. And maybe it'll be a thing, this Kiss Army Storms, and then just add a city. And maybe it can be improved, or it becomes a total clusterfuck, and this is the only time we'll see it. If they make a lot of money this time around, I sure as hell think they will try it again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're testing the waters, and if that's what they actually end up doing, where they're like, okay, this didn't work out, this maybe was too much, blah blah blah, let's adjust it. Then I think it's worth trying. For sure. I mean, if you're testing the waters with this, then maybe it's worth doing, because if the next time they come around and they suddenly give us ideas like, you know, a day pass, or it's maybe like $1,000 less than it was, or whatever, just different ideas for it, then, and people kind of say, okay, this is more like it, then it was worth doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get off of that crazy thing. And we'll see, you know, how it goes, and it'll be interesting. It's a long way off. It's in November, and we'll see how that goes. We're getting close to wrap up time, so I have another thing here for you guys, poll kind of thing. So you have $100. It's related to the Kiss that Trust to Kill stuff. You have $100. Which do you buy? Ready? Do you buy the Dress to Kill 50th baseball jersey with that $100? Or do you buy the Rush 50th CD hardcover book and CDs, you know, that set? or do you buy the Wasp Savage 7 CDs and the hardcover book?
Mm.
Which of those three do you buy? If you have $100, which of those three?
I can start. Well, you know, no one cares about baseball over here, to be pretty honest. So the baseball shirt, I don't get that thing. I'd rather get a cool-looking T-shirt or a sweatshirt or something. Mm-hmm. But so that's out. And then it's Rush or Wasp. For me, it's Wasp. I've always been a big fan of them. A big fan of theirs, and I especially enjoy the first album, and the one he did in the early 90s. What's it called?
Kill, Fuck, Die?
No, not that one. Do you like that one? The industrial, dark shit. No, I don't like that one either. But the one about Jonathan, you know, the story about Crimson Idol. I like that one. And then the other albums has a song here and there that I like as well. But I would go Wasp. Rush has never been my cup of tea. I wonder what Mark would spend his money on.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, before I answer that, the Rush 50 CD hardcover book is over $100 here in Canada. It's like $147, but still, okay. I get the point. And of course, it would be the Rush book for me because I'm, of course, a diehard fan. And that's a great package. I mean, I don't know if obviously Daniel wouldn't have looked into it because he doesn't like Rush, but they have the early first single finally released now properly. Mm-hmm. That's because you can get on the vinyl version as well. Some unreleased stuff that, you know, that wasn't put out before, you know, some, you know, alternate takes and stuff like that. So it's really good. I mean, sure, if you're a really, really, really diehard guy who's, you know, like me, who gets every little thing he can find online, then some of it is not as unreleasable as they thought it was. But it's a great package. I mean, some of these things, like the performances at the Electric Ladyland, are great. The Agora Ballroom shows are fantastic. So I highly recommend it if you're a Rush guy.
Yeah, I listened to some of that, Mark, the Rush one, mm-hmm. actually yesterday, because, you know, I'm an old-time Rush fan. I like the first 10 years of Rush. I'm really into the first 10 years of Rush. So that would be a possibility. Yeah, I wouldn't buy the Dress to Kill jersey. the Wasp, I like Wasp, too. Definitely the first, you know, number of albums I really enjoy. At least the first three, you know, and some of the other ones, like the Crimson Idol, like Daniel said, I would maybe do the Wasp, because I already have a lot of the Rush music, except, you know, I don't have the first single or anything like that, but I would probably go for the Wasp one. If, you know.
I'm a wild child, come and love me.
Wild child, great. Yeah, I know, I love that, yeah. So, okay, I think that's going to wrap it up. We don't want to go over time for Julian. He likes these nice and, you know, down to about an hour or so, or else we're going to get the axe. Yeah, he's going to give us the axe.
Overtime fees.
Overtime fees, exactly. Right. Yeah, we're paying per minute here, you know, hours. So, all right. So, well, I appreciate you guys coming and joining live here, and the people that are watch later, that's fine, or listen later. Let us know on the boards or wherever you communicate with us, you know, on the board or Facebook, wherever, or on YouTube, comments, you know, what you feel about these, the Dress to Kill merch and the Kiss Army Storms Vegas, you know, convention, I guess it is, and that sort of stuff, and anything else we talked about. So signing off from Ken, Mark, and Daniel, we'll see you next week, I think.
Thank you for spending time listening to the Kiss FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the Kiss FAQ message board and discuss the topic we've broadcast today. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Spreaker, or wherever you've listened to the show. We hope you'll join us again.